Tonight is Monday night, June 18th. This is the Gemara share. We're up to Moed Kata in the middle of Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay. Okay, the Gemara is continuing to discuss a variety of halachot associated with nidui, and want to begin with one he'ara. Last week we read the Gemara, which states, it's about of the third of the way down, where the Gemara asked, Uminalon dinatsinon velaitinon umachinon vitalshinon se'ar umashbeinon. Does everybody have the place? It's about 10-12 lines after the lines get wide. The Gemara asked the question, how do I know that somebody is put into nidui? Is dinatsinon, you chepe him, you make him nuts, vilaitinon, and you curse him, umachinon, and you strike him, viltalshinon se'ar, and you rip out his hair, umashbeinon. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, va'ariv imam, you will quarrel with them, va'akalaleim, va'akem mehem anashim, you'll hit people, va'emratem, you pull out their hair, va'ashbeim, and I will swear that they will be placed into a nidui. So the question which the Minchas Chinuch and many others ask is found on page, I don't know how page 7 got before page 1. The machine decided to act ridiculously. So if you go to page number 3 for a minute, which is the Minchas Chinuch and Parshas Kedoshim, the discussion will be as to whether or not it is indeed appropriate to curse someone who is defined as a Rasha. Are you permitted to curse him? So our Gemara says that anybody who was put into Nidui was cursed. And they quote a Pasuk. Pasuk isn't exactly talking about that, but they bring a Pasuk where they use the words Va'akalalein. So on the one hand, before we move on, can you please just turn to page number 4 for a minute, where the Gemara in Sanhedrin establishes the following guideline. The Amakra, it's in the bracketed lines, V'nasi be'amicha lo ta'or. You are not permitted to curse a Nasi. It never says in the Torah you're not allowed to curse a regular person. Only thing that exists are extremes. You're not permitted to curse the Nasi. And then, that's in Parshas Mishpatim. Then in Parshas Kedoshim, the Pasuk says, Lo sikalel cheresh. Someone whose cheresh is deaf. Might be deaf and dumb, but deaf, certainly deaf. So even that means even if a person can't hear, you are not permitted to curse him. So the Gemara actually says that a regular person, there is no real pasuk that says you're not allowed to curse him. But he's somewhere in between. Most of us are not going to see in, and we're not a cheresh. So we're somewhere in the middle. We're average dudes. So if you can't curse the extreme, you can't curse someone in the middle either. However, there is an inference made based on the pasuk by Nasi, Be'ose ma'ase amcha. The only prohibition is if this Nasi, and from here we learn everybody else, does what makes us a member of what? Of Am Yisrael. In other words, you adhere to Torah guidelines. But somebody who does not adhere to Torah guidelines, v'lav nasi ba'amcha lo ta'or, does not apply. The lav does not apply to somebody who is eino oseh ma'aseh amcha. Now it doesn't say that it's permitted. What does it say? That you may not violate the lav if you cursed somebody who is eino oseh ma'aseh amcha. So the Minchas Chinuch will now state that this Gemara is not to be interpreted that you are allowed to curse people who are Risha'im. You are not allowed to curse them. The only difference is that if they, quote, if they curse using the Shem Hashem, what happens to somebody who curses with the Shem Hashem? What's his punishment? Is Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Ki Lo Yinake Hashem Esa Sheisa Et Shmo Lasha. And this would be a Shvua Shach, because you know there's no reason to curse, to invoke God's name. So that's a pretty serious punishment, that if you curse with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's never going to live it down. He's always going to remember to punish it. So if you curse somebody who is Eino Oseh Maaseh Amcha, you won't, and you use the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you won't necessarily suffer the what? The severity of the lav, ki lo yinakeh, but the lav, you're going to violate anyhow. Even if the person is Eino Oseh Maaseh Amcha. So now let's pick up the discussion in the Minchas Chinuch on page 3. So, in discussing the mitzvah of Lo Sikalel in Parshas Kedoshim, the Chinuch writes, She'asur Likalel B'shum Inyan. You are not permitted to curse under any circumstances. Nireh, it appears to me, the Diyek lay, Meitirotz, from the Gemara says, Patur Nira Di Isura Ika. Number one, that if somebody curses someone who is Eino Oseh Maaseh Amcha, number one, the Gemara said that it's Pater. Now the Minchas Chinuch believes that not only when we learn Masechet Shabbos, that the word Patur always means Aval Asur B'Derabbanan, because in many places in Halacha, the word Patur means it's perfectly okay to do it. By Hilcha Shabbos, that's not the case. In order for something to be mutar on Hilcha Shabbos, it has to say mutar. If it says patur, it just means that it's patur from onshin, but it's asur nonetheless, midrabanan. So the Gemara actually says that if you cursed somebody who was eino oseh maaseh amcha, you are patur, afilu asur, tshuva, you still violate an Isur. Ayin Sanhedrin Perikei Al Ayin Amud Aleph Uberambam Perikei Mehilchus Mamrin Vihine Hamikalel Rasha Hishmit Kan Harava Mechaber. The Chinuch himself, should have just focused on the Chinuch, just says you're not allowed to curse any person. But he doesn't specifically mention that you're not allowed to curse a Rasha. Umevur b'shas Sanhedrin Sham, uberambam hilchos mamrim, depatur, dechsiv be'amcha. The Gemara says, as we just read, v'nasi be'amcha, drash, dafka be'ose ma'ase amcha. V'ayin b'loshin ha'gemara, depatur nira de'isura ika. Patur means that there's only what? No onesh, but an isur there is. Ukvar hevesi la'el, dechol makom depatur hu, asur rak midrabanan, kimo b'shabbos. Mikol makom ze dafka im kilel bikinuyin. That's only when is there an isum midrabanan? If you were mikalel with a kinui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kinui is not a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an attribute, a characteristic that describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're not permitted midoraisa to curse either somebody with what? With kinuyin. You're not allowed to. But if you curse somebody who is eino osem ma'asei amcha, then you are patur, but it's asur midrabanan. Kigon rachum v'chanun. If you swear by the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is, without saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, by the rachum v'chanun, that is considered a shvua, and if it's not somebody who is a Rasha, you will violate an Issa Doraisa. And if it is somebody who is a Rasha, you will only violate an Issa Midrabanan. Aval b'shemos hamiyuchadim. But if you have any of the sheva shemot, shisha shemot hamiyuchadim, the Rambam describes them in Perek Vav of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, that there are six names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which represent real names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nira the Ika Isur Aseh. There is an Isur Aseh, Ayin Tmura Perak Aleph, Machmas the Motzi Shem Shomat Levatala. You will be mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain. But over Alaseh, Es Hashem Alokecha Tira. That you are to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of the manifestations of fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not to mention his name in vain. Ubifrat b'shem hamayuchad havaya baruch hu. And certainly not with any of the really designated names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So either Shem Havaya or B'Shem Aleph Dalid. What is Beit Shin by Shem Shemos? Okay. The other one is Shem Aleph Dalid. To say, you know, Aleph Dalid Nun Yun. To call HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a fashion. Ulechora, Koshali. Lefi Masha Kasafti Dafil Rasha Nira, the Isura, the Ika Isura, the Im Kilel Oso B'Shem Hameforash, over Baasei, the Im Einam Rishaim Hamikalel Osam Chayiv Malkus. So question number one. Im Kain Heich Kilel Elisha Hanavi Es Hayolodim. In Melachim Perek Bet, there is a famous chapter about Eliyahu was badgered by some little kids. And what did he do? He cursed them. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He sent bears and they devoured those kids. Umikra Mali Vayikalalein B'Shem Hashem. Asks the Menachas Chinuch. Afilu hayu im hayu rishaim. Eich avar chas v'shalom al Isur Aseh. How could he possibly have violated an Isur Aseh? Ubifrat lemandi yomar b'shas sota. According to the Gemara in Sota, the Gemara says, "My ra'a, what did Elisha see about these kids who were badgering him? Shenis abra imam v'yom kippurim. The mother got pregnant with these children on Yom Kippur. Avolheim lo hayu rishayim." They were not Rishayim. Just because their mother had relations on Yom Kippur doesn't make them a Rasha. O afilu kitane amana. They weren't lacking to any extent in the Pasuk, at least according to the way the Medrash interprets it. They were not lacking any faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mikol makom lo hayu apikorsim. U mishecharav beis hamikdash batlu anshei amuna ayin Rashi sham besaita. The Gemara says, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, a lot of things ceased existing. And one of them were people who had absolute emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That doesn't exist today any longer. Im kein, eich avar alav shebatayra. How could Elisha have violated alav of the Torah? So, after seeing this Minchas Chinuch, other Achroinim decided to ask the question on our Gemara. The Chazon Ish, asks a question on our Gemara. How could it be that you are somebody who's put into nidui mutar lekalalo, that you are permitted to curse him? And especially, one of the big spokesmen in this Gemara happens to be Abaye, because it was Abaye and Rava who put somebody, who some butcher, who embarrassed Rav Tuvia, Rav Tuvia. Tuvia Bamasna. So, and if you remember Gemara well, the phrase Layit Abaye appears at least a dozen times in Shas. Apparently Abaye was hot-tempered, and when he met people he didn't like, he cursed them. And that's what the word Layit means. Our Gemara uses that word, Laitina. So the Chazon Ish, it's not for some strange reason, it's not in in Bar Ilan, otherwise I would have photostated for you. So the Chazon Ish asks the question on our Gemara. Doesn't ask the question on Elisha, as it's recorded in Tanakh. But in our Gemara, why is it that you are permitted to go ahead and curse somebody who is put into Chayrim? What is the reason for that? For that reason, and in fact, he goes on and amplifies the question. There is a phrase that the Torah writes in Parshas Ki Tsetzeh in relationship to the mitzvah of Yibum, that somebody who is obligated in Yibum and refuses to do so, what does he have? He has to give chalitza. And the Torah says that when he gives Yibum, what's the purpose of giving Yibum? V'lo yimacheh shmo b'Yisrael. His name will not be eradicated. Inference is that if you don't do Yibum and you decide to engage in chalitza, what you're doing is you are causing your brother's name to be nimcheh. And no, the Torah doesn't actually say that. That somebody who gives chalitza is going to be called someone who should be, who's guilty of yimacheh shmo b'Yisrael. And the Chazon Ish says that we reserve yimach shemai only to one person, Amalek. That's who we say yimach shemai. People whose focus in life is to eradicate Am Yisrael. But nobody else. So why is it that our Gemara feels that it's appropriate to curse someone who has been put into nidui? And he says that he says I have no recourse but saying that the Minchas Chinuch must be wrong, because our Gemara claims that it's okay to curse somebody who's in nidui, and that person was put into nidui because he failed to listen to Besdin, and apparently you're allowed to do so, otherwise the Gemara would not allow it. And for this reason, he challenges the Minchas Chinuch. Yes, the Minchas Chinuch portrayed a nice little scenario why you should not do so, but the Chazon Ish says, I don't quite understand our Gemara would allow it. Our Gemara would allow it. And in fact, he elaborates and cites the very famous Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Yud Amud Aleph, where Rabbi Meir said, Yitamu Chot'im Min Ha'aretz. Let those who are sinners be eradicated from this earth. And what did Bruria say? No, Habi, Rabbi Meir, you got it all wrong. The pasuk doesn't say Yitamu Chotim. What does it say? Yitamu Chato'im. Let sin be eradicated from this earth. And once you eradicate sin, then there's no more Chotim. So there'd be no problem. So the fact that the Gemara quotes Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir, to correct Rabbi Meir's version of that particular pasuk with which we conclude Baruch Hinafshi on Rosh Chodesh, shows that we are not looking to curse people who have done something wrong. We're not looking to end their lives, God forbid. And he remains with a tzarachin, He can't understand how the Minchas Chinuch can say something like this if we have our Gemara to defend that particular position. And in fact, if you look at, for a second, on page number 5, the Mishnah Halachos, very current sefer, used by many, Shelo to Tshuvot Mishnah Halachos, the Omer Ani, the Sosam Bazet Masnite Kirabi Meir, the Svirule Yitamu Chotim. The Mishnah there seems to support Rabbi Meir's opinion, who says you read it Yitamu Chotim. Avalabruria, the Hikshole Miksiv Chotim, Chatoim Ksiv, Yitamu Chatoim, Umimela Rishaim Od Einam, the Imkain Hachanami. B'ta'avas Rishaim, Miksiv Rishaim Yovedu, Ta'avas Rishaim Toved. The Ta'ava, the drive for Rishaim to engage in Aveirot, that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get rid of. Kilomar, Sheha'ta'ava Toved, Umemela Lo Yiyu Rishaim Od Ba'olam. The Imkain, Vadai dover tovu shete aved ta'avas harasha v'gam yisameach. What he's discussing here is a question: if a rasha is eliminated, should you express any joy or not? So there is a pasuk in Tehillim which says ba'avod rishaim rina. When Rishaim are eliminated, you're to be happy. Yet, everybody knows, the phrase by Shmuel HaKatan in Mishnah Avos, which says, "Binifol o yivcha al tismach." Don't rejoice when your enemy falls. So he's discussing this whole idea, whether or not it's appropriate to rejoice, not to rejoice. And he comes to the conclusion that was exactly the debate between Bruria and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says it's okay, and Bruria says no, we want to eliminate their characteristics. Ta'avat Rishaim Toved, not the Rishaim themselves. So we have a debate between the Chazon Ish and the Minchas Chinuch as to whether or not our Gemara is a difficult Gemara, or our Gemara actually establishes the rule of Pinky that under no circumstances should you engage in cursing somebody, or then that's the other Gemaras that we looked at, or is this Gemara the main one, which says that if he's Eino Osem Maaseh Amcha, you are allowed to curse him. And it's again, it's discussed quite frequently. Okay.
Cursing always applies using Hashem's name?
No. Cursing applies even without Shem Hashem. But without Shem Hashem, you can't get Malkus.
Maybe the Gemara is talking about cursing.
That's possible. It is possible. But it's still Usher. Still Usher, according to this. Okay. Let me invite the Gemara. We are now in the end of that story. The Gemara had said, where the Gemara says, Alma kasavar abaye, hani beit losa, deshamitu, lo asu tils losa achrini visharile. You see that Abaye held that if three people put you into cherem, three other people cannot put you into chayru. I mean, release you from that chayru. Cannot release you from that chayru. And the way we learned it was, the way we understood it was up based on the last lines of the Gemara that we read, where Shmuel said, "Tut asar v'tut shari." The blowing of the shofar by the three put him into Beis Din. You need the blowing of the shofar by the three to release him. And Rashi said on that phrase, on that, "Lo asur achrine v'sharule mida mehader iu nafshe lemishre." So Abaye was looking for a reason to what? To release him, because the person had done tshuva. So the question is, did you have to wait until 30 days elapse, or could you release him immediately? The only and Abaye himself was discussing it. So the Gemara says that the conclusion, that's how Rashi learns, since Abaye was working for a method to figure out whether I can release him, we learned that no one else had the right to release him. That was Rashi. The Ritva says that I don't have to need the signals of Tut Shari and Tut Asre. You don't need that. The Ritva, if you go to page number 1 for a minute, I mentioned to you last week that there was a varying girsa of what the issue was, why they had to release this guy. Don't forget he was a butcher. So Abaye said, I want to release him. Why? Because Kaba'u Rabbanan Meizal. Because the Rabbanan wanted to go to him. Why? Because what they didn't want to eat rice, wheels, and cottage cheese. They wanted to have meat. That was the girsa which Rashi had as well. Says the Ritva, V'yesh Gorsin, Kaba'u Rabbanan Afture Me'al. The Rabbanan who put him into Cherem wanted to leave. They had some place to go. Not that they needed what? The butchery of the person who was in Cherem. They wanted to go someplace. V'hakolin yinechot. Shirotzin lihi parter ulihi kones laderech lashuv lebeitam. V'shuv lo yuchal lehatiram. Once they would leave, then obviously they could, if they're not going to be there, they can't be Matar Neder. So the Ritva says, I don't need a little inference from Tut Shari and Tut Asar. It says it black on white according to that Girsa. That what did the Rabbanan want to do? They wanted to leave. And if they wanted to leave, who's stopping them from leaving? Who's stopping them from leaving is that if they were to leave, nobody else would be able to be Matir Neder for them. Nobody would be able to be Matir Neder. But the Gemara was not 100% certain if indeed this was the Halacha. So we're going to continue with the Gemara now. De'ibayilahu. Even though Abaye appeared to have already ruled on the issue that you cannot be Matir Neder if you are not the same people who put him in, the Gemara says, the Ivayalu, Hani Beit Tlosa, Deshamitu, Mahu Lemese Tlosa Achrina, Visharule. Are three other people permitted to what? Put him into Chayre, release him from the Chayre. So the Gemara is going to try to resolve it from a braisa, even though Abaye felt that way, the Gemara asked the question, and we'll see, might be a machloikus Abaye and others. Toshma. The braisa is going to say three things. One, minuda l'rav, minuda l'talmud. That if somebody is put into nidui by a rav, if somebody is put into nidui by a rav, His Talmud must abide by the Nidui as well. It's considered as if the Talmud is under the spell of the Nidui as well. Minuda l'talmid, eino minuda l'rab. That if somebody happened to put a talmid into cheirin, because the talmid was not nice to a butcher, whoever it is, then the talmid, of course, vis-a-vis the talmid, the butcher can't have any interaction, and the talmid is not to have any interaction with the butcher. But his Rebbe is not included in that cheirin. Minuda l'talmid, eino minuda l'rav. Statement number three. Minuda l'iro, minuda l'iracheres. That if he is placed in nidui for his city, he is also considered in nidui l'iracheres, for another city. However, minuda l'iracheres, eino minuda l'iro. But if you are placed into nidui for in another town, for another town, that does not mean that the people in your own town are included in the nidui. Statement number four: Menuda l'nasi, menuda l'kol, l'kol Yisrael. If somebody is placed into nidui because he humiliated a nasi, all of Klal Yisrael have to participate in this nidui. Menuda l'chol Yisrael, eino menuda l'nasi. But if somebody is a menuda to all of Am Yisrael in that neighborhood, the nasi is not necessarily included. And we find a parallel version of the nasi later on in the Gemara in Ma'ir Katan concerning Avelus. That if the nasi shemeis, kol bate midrash mitbatlin, all of the schools have to shut down and have to, you know, come to the levaya and so on and so forth. Because there's always a debate whether you should be mevatel Talmud Torah in order to go to a levaya. So the Gemara later on says, and it's in Brachos as well, that it's always better to continue learning, unless you have to, feel you have to. So if it's a regular person, let the other people go. It's efshel la soysay al deyachem. Other people go to levaya. But if it's it's the nasi shemeis, then everybody has to shut their Beit Midrash. And in fact, when Rav Aaron Cutler died, Rav Moshe and the Rav said that all yeshivas should close. And they did, based on this halacha. That Nasi Shemes doesn't only mean Nasi, it means one of the Gedolei Ador, that everybody should close, and the yeshivas closed, and encourage people to go to the Lower East Side, where Rav Aaron Cutler's Levaya was. Aaron Cutler's Levaya was. Yeah. So, that's what the Gemara says. Now the Gemara is going to try to infer from this statement concerning our halacha. Rab Shimon ben Gamliel omer, echad min atalmidim shenida umeis, chelko eino mufar. If you have a group of students who were put into cheirim because they acted inappropriately, said something inappropriate to a Rebbe, and that person died, one of them died, echad min atalmidim shenida umeis, chelko eino mufar. His chelek is not rescinded. What does that mean? His chelek is not rescinded. After he's dead, well, what's going to help him? But as we learned previously, there are certain financial ramifications about somebody's put into chelek. If you remember correctly, the Gemara said you establish competition with him at his store. So here, the Yorshin would take over the father's store, and the Yorshin might claim, oh, my father was the one in Nidui, and he's dead. Why do I have to suffer a loss of income because of my father? The answer is yes. Until your father will be released from Nidui, the Nidui stands, even though he is no longer alive. That was Rab Shimon Gamliel's end. Says the Gemara, Shma minot las. From this brisa, we can establish three halachot. One, Shma mina Talmud shenida lichvodo niduyav nidui. That I could have thought for a second that a Talmud has no right to put anybody into nidui, even though somebody said something inappropriate. That's reserved for the rabbein. So from this brisa we learn, no, if you're a Talmud, and we're not talking about the third graders, talking about Talmidim of Tanoim, who often occupied seats in Batei Din when the Rosh Yeshiva had to step down for whatever reason or another. So the halacha is that a Talmud can put somebody into Cheirim if his kavod was not treated properly. That's number one. Ushmamina, kol echad ve'echad mefer chelko. That if you have a group of Talmidim, and they were put into, or a group of people put into Cheirim, either a group of Talmidim or anybody else, you can release some of them without releasing others. You can do that. And not think that since they were put into Cheirim in one fell swoop, in one takana, in order to release one of them, what might have to happen? You have to release all of them. That is incorrect. And from this brisa we see, you can release one of them at a time. Ushma mina hani beit losa deshamitu lo asu tlosa achrina visharule. And we learn out that no other bezdin has a right to release you, only the bezdin that put you into cheirim. Says Rashi, take a look at Rashi. How do I learn this halacha from this brisa? Rashi v'dibur hamaschil lo osu achrite v'sharu midiktani chelko eino mufar la'olam afilu sharu le'achrina. That if the one student, if one of the students who were put into cheirim in the group died, so it says that his cheirim remains. So Rashi infers his cheirim remains even if what? Three other people decided to release him. Must be that the only time that his cheirim can be released is if the original group decided to release him. But if the original group did not decide to release him, then his cheirim remains. Yes?
Wasn't there some provision to do charata or something in order to be
that
released?
Is correct.
Now he's dead, so how's he?
Okay, so he, so that's that. You, obviously, he can't.
Right.
So, but still, the impact of the nidui, they could go ahead right away. Once he dies, they could say, "Okay, we're going to release him from the nidui." That's all. They could, but they don't have to. They might want to say, "You know what? He died as a chote. He didn't do tshuva before he died. We're going to keep him in for a longer. Keep him in cheir. And it'll impact his children." Impact his children. So if you take a look at the Rambam, take a look at the Rambam, which is on page 7. This is Perek Vav, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Halacha Yud Beis, on the bottom of the page. Says the Rambam, Af al pi shehamevaze esachachomim, eilo chelek lolam haba. Even though somebody was mevaze talmide chachomim, eilo chelek lolam haba, in bo'u edim, shebizuhu, afilu bidvarim chayev nidui uminadin oso bezdin berabim v'konsin oso likrozav v'chol makom v'nosnin oso lichacham. Even though the halacha is that somebody who's mevazna tamid chacham already suffers an onesh. What onesh does he suffer? He forfeits olam haba. Says the Rambam, despite the fact that he's going to suffer, that does not mean that we should preclude from putting him into nidui. You should put him into nidui, and you fine him a liter of zahav, and you give that to the chachamim. V'hamevaze es hachacham bidvarim, afilu la'achar misa minadin oso bezdin, v'heim matirin oso kishi yachzor b'tshuva. Even if the Talmud Chacham died already, they still can put him into cherem, into nidui, and the only way he'd be released is if he does tshuva. Aval im hoya hachacham chai, ein matirin oso achiratze ze shniduhu bishvilo. If the chacham is still alive, even a bezdin cannot remove him unless the person who he humiliated consents to release him. V'chein hechacham atzmo minada lechvodo la'am ha'aretz. A chacham himself can do so to an amaret shehif kirbo v'ein tzarech lo edim v'lo asra v'ein matirin lo ad sheyiratzes hachacham v'imeis hechacham bo'en shloishinu matirin lo v'imratza hechacham limcho lo v'lo niduhu harashus biyado. If the chacham wants to release him and be Michaelim, if they had not yet put him into Cherem, under those circumstances, he has the right to do so. So there are pretty strict guidelines concerning somebody who is Mevaze a Talmud Chacham. However, the Ritva, if you go back to the Ritva for a minute on page number 2, the Ritva writes, now, let me just see what it says. Because the Beis Yosef is going to infer from the Rambam that he disagrees. Yeah, it's the third paragraph on the page where it says, Minuda l'talmid eino minuda l'rab, u'kida kimno l'taman yud zayin amad ala. Kishenadu l'talmud l'chvodo b'chud. U'mistabra, to who hadin? She'eino minuda l'chachamim hagidolim mimenu. That when we say that somebody is minuda to a chacham, because of a chacham, that does not include chacham, even though he's a chacham, not only just the Talmud, even though he's a chacham, he does not include the nidui to what? To the rest, to Talmidei Chachamim who are greater stature than this one who was insulted. It's to this person and his Talmidim, but not anybody who is of greater consequence. And the Beis Yosef, if we'll now reread the Rambam for just a second, go back to the Rambam and I'll tell you what the Beis Yosef says. Go back to the Rambam, page 7. Rambam writes, if you look in the Rambam in Halakhi Beis, in the third line, right after the comma, V'chein hechacham atzmo minade lichvodo le'am ha'aretz shehifkirbo. Le'am ha'aretz. Beis Yosef reads into this Rambam that he agrees with the Ritva. Who does the nidui impact? Just the Ami ha'aretz. But somebody who is a greater chacham, other chachamim, are not necessarily included in the nidui under those circumstances. And the reason being is, when you have Ameh Haaretz, they don't know the halacha that they're supposed to be Mechabe Tamid Chachamim. So we want them to realize the consequence of somebody who is going to be Mevazel Tamid Chacham. But Chachamim, other Chachamim, you don't have to worry about them not treating Chachamim properly. Hence, they are not duty-bound to follow this particular nidui. And if the person who was put into nidui happened to be a business which the Talmidei Chachamim needed, they are permitted to go ahead and purchase things from him, even though Amei Haaretz are not permitted to purchase things from him. Because Minude LeChacham is only LeAmei Haaretz. However, the other Talmidei Chachamim, the nidui does not apply. That's what the Beis Yosef claims you should infer from that particular Rambam, from that particular Rambam's words. Okay, let's continue. Amalei Rav Ashi la'ameimar. V'hotanya Rav Shimon ben Gamliel oimer, echad mehatalmidim shenida umeis chelko eino mufar. My love eino mufar klal? Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said that if one of the people put into cherem, one of the talmidim put into cherem, and he died, the nidui still applies. So our Gemara had used this as a drash that the only people who are permitted to what? To be matir are the original Bezdin. It's Rav Ashi a simple question. It says, Eino mufar chelko. Maybe it means that the nidui can never be removed, not only by a second Bezdin, but what else? By the original Bezdin. They can't be made for it either. That's Rav Ashi's question. Rav Ashi Amar La'Meimar V'Hatan Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Echad Matim Shenem Is Chelko. Chelko Eini Mufar. My love Eino Mufar Klal? Answers the Gemara, no. Lo. Ad De'osu Beit Losa Achrini V'Sharulei. It means that what? His nidui cannot be removed until three people come to be matir neder. So Rav Ashi disagrees with the inference from the Gemara and ultimately claims that it certainly can be removed. Not only can it be removed by the bezdin that put him into the nidui, it can be removed by anybody. And so it's a machloikis between Abaye and Rav Ashi in the end result. All right, we'll stop here. If I give the share next Sunday morning, I can't give it any weekday. I have three weddings, three nights in a row next week. I'm willing to give the share Sunday morning. Anybody can any guarantee that they can make it? Sunday morning? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Check the weekly brief, but it'll probably be next time. What? 8:45. After the 8 o'clock meeting.
I'll bring in a siddur.
Okay, now I know you're a heinous shachvein.